This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% every time you use the code FIT10 at checkout. That's FIT10. Throw that in the comments section at checkout to save 10%. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 92. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and of course with me is Jimmy Smith. And we have a special guest on the show this week. He's been on once in the past, or twice in the past, and we're lucky to have him back on. Of course, that's Chad Waterbury, who you most possibly know from his stuff on T-Nation, also his book Muscle Revolution. He has his 10-10 Transformation Workout, which many people have checked out. And you know what, Chad, it's always a huge pleasure to have you on the show, so just thank you for coming back on.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Happy to be here.
Well, we got a huge rush of questions from our listeners to ask you on the show, so let's just jump right into it.
Sounds good.
The first question comes from Pete from Denver, Colorado. He says, I would consider myself skinny fat and recently completed the 10-10 transformation. While I ended up losing 8 pounds of fat, I didn't seem to put on much lean body mass. In fact, I've always had a much easier time losing fat than gaining muscle. Typically, when I try to gain muscle, I end up putting on too much fat too quickly. And the end result is basically that I am never able to make appreciable muscle gains. What suggestions would you have for someone in a similar situation such as myself? Thanks for any tips you can give me. And again, that's from Pete.
All right. So the first thing I'd say about that is politically incorrect as it is to bring up right from the start. When I hear this, especially with this 10-10 transformation program, which is really so effective, I gotta really think to myself, did the person really adhere to the program? So I just hope that when people do these programs, they have to understand that every single thing has its place. And sometimes people will make statements like this to me, like you just described with Pete, and I'll start asking questions like, well, you know, I couldn't do that exercise or this exercise, and there's a couple days there where I didn't really eat right, and, you know, I didn't get much sleep because something was going on in my life and all that. And, you know, that's a fact of life, but you have to keep that in mind when you consider what results you got. So I'm just going to assume, though, that Pete did everything correctly. And I will say, if he did, those results definitely are not typical. But most people who are the skinny fat syndrome, the people who put on fat very easily when they're trying to add bulk. The real key usually is that they're taking their carbs in at the wrong time of the day. You really want to focus your carbs on at breakfast and post workout. So what I would say is during the bulking phase of the 10-10, if you feel like you're not gaining muscle, or a better way to look at it is if you feel like your performance is not increasing, then I would start adding carbs. I would add about 100 grams of carbs a day. I put 50 at breakfast and 50 post-workout in addition to the other parameters that I have, you know, in the program. So that's the main thing. And I really need to know more about, more specifics about what he was experiencing on this, just besides the fact that he felt like he didn't gain much muscle. I need to know if his performance was staying the same or was increasing or was in dropping or what. But during the bulking phase, because the frequency is so high, you're really not going to increase your performance over the three-week period. Because you basically you're going through incomplete recovery. I'm not giving your muscles sufficient time to recover, but you should be able to at least maintain your performance. In other words, maintain your weights. So if you're not able to do that, I would add the carbs, and then if you still can't, then I would add branched chain amino acids. So about 8 to 10 grams before and after. Some people do that, some people don't. But if you're not doing that, I would make that recommendation. So that's pretty much it for that.
The next question comes from Philip in Montreal, Quebec, and he says, "Hey, Chad, I've been training since last summer using the various programs from your latest book. I noticed with the exception of a few programs such as Lift Fast, Get Big, most of them include no tempo instructions. As a default, I generally use a 201 tempo, but I was wondering why you felt tempo was less an issue in these programs. I've also been using your 1RM scheme to determine my loads, which you've seen since dismissed, but I still find useful. Is there a better alternative? Thanks for the great programs, which I always find interesting and challenging. The results aren't too shabby either."
Well, I would say that tempo prescriptions set this industry back about 10 years. So that's why you don't hear me talking much about them. They really have. They made people focus on elements in a training program they just really shouldn't be focusing on. The only good thing that came out of tempo prescriptions is that I think it helped some people's form, because if you have crappy form, I mean, that's a whole issue in itself. But the last thing you need to do is be counting to yourself while you're lifting a load or lowering a load. You want to lift as fast as possible, as fast as comfortably possible. See, people have this, can sometimes be a misnomer to some people when I say lift as fast as possible. They think in their mind sometimes that I'm saying scream and jerk the weights and throw it up as fast as you can. That is definitely not what I'm saying. I'm saying always keep perfect form. Lift as fast as comfortably possible. That'll be different for all lifts. For more complex lifts, such as an overhead squat, you know, they're not going to be able to stand up quite as fast as maybe they could do a push press, because, you know, the coordination and the skill with an overhead squat is a little bit greater. But you always lift as fast as possible and keep perfect form. The reason why you do that is because the goal of training is simple: to recruit as many motor units as possible. Force is positively correlated with motor unit recruitment. The higher your force is, in other words, the higher your speed is, the more motor units you're going to recruit. Any time you slow down a lift, any time, it's always at the expense of motor unit recruitment. In other words, you'll recruit fewer motor units the slower you lift the load. That is totally backwards with the way an effective training program should be. So instead of prescribing tempos, I've spent the last year talking about how important it is to lift as fast as possible. And for the lowering phase, yeah, there are some benefits. I mean, depending on what research you want to reference, you know, there are benefits to having a little bit slower eccentric phase. And I definitely see the benefit for sure in the lowering phase being a little bit slower. But what I tell people is don't count it. Don't worry about is it exactly 2 seconds or exactly 1.5 seconds or 3 seconds. Just control the lowering. If you just control the lowering and you lift as fast as possible, you'll derive all the benefits you want from training. Your focus should be on the mind-muscle link. It should not be on counting. And that's really how you get your best results.
The next question comes from our listener, Matt Tuck. He says, "Hi, Chad. My name is Matt Tuck." I probably didn't need to mention his name before then, I guess. Since I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm glad that you're back on the show, my question is about fat loss. I've been trying to lose body fat for a while now, and it seems to have stopped at 12% weighing 200 pounds. I'm on a low-carb diet under 70 grams a day, and my calories are usually around 1,800 to 2,000. I train 5 hours a week using complexes, high-intensity interval training, and swimming. Are there any recommendations for getting over that hump? Thanks, and also, are you going to be at any seminars anywhere in near Tennessee soon?
Near Tennessee, no, I won't be, but I'll discuss my next seminar at the end of this program. I'll just give a hint and say it's not in this country, so it's definitely far from Tennessee. But anyway, to the question, this is a very common scenario. Based on what he said with his training, it sounds like his training is spot on. He's doing all the things he should be doing to lose fat. He's not losing fat. So what do we have left with? Well, we have left with the good old diet. And the problem is that when people start losing fat and they get down to a certain level, because it's around 12%, depend on how he measured it. I don't know if it's exactly 12, but we'll just say it is. But 10 to 12% is when, usually 10% with males is when things start getting really difficult. And when I say things start getting difficult, what I mean is the metabolism really starts shutting down. Your hormonal profile just isn't favorable for fat burning. And usually the only way, or the most effective way to reset that is to up your calories, cut back on your training, and up your carbs, because that will help with leptin production and thyroid output, and just to get your metabolism back on track. So for Matt, his name is Matt, right?
Yes.
You should have said it twice or something to remind me. For Matt, what I'd recommend is to stop training altogether for 3 days and to add 100 grams of carbs to your diet. And I'd split those 100 grams up 50-50. I'd get 50 from sweet potatoes or yams. I'd get the other 50 from fruits such as bananas and raisins. And I would spread those out throughout the first half of the day. And again, do that for 3 days and don't do any training for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, take your temperature before you get out of bed. Write down what that temperature is. And then get back to the plan that you were on and see if you get back to, after about a week of being back on the plan, see if you lost any additional fat. You should, because what that three-day period does is it basically restarts your metabolism or boosts your metabolism. So use that, keep that temperature handy on that fourth day that you took, and any time your morning temperature drops more than a degree below that, or let's just say a degree below that, then your metabolism is shutting down and you need to reintroduce carbs, maybe cut back on your training a little bit. But I would say that his calories are a little bit low too. I would like to know, I don't want to get into that. The main thing is he should do that 3 day plan, no training, add carbs, take the temperature on the fourth day, and that should do it. And then just keep in mind that if things start shutting down, he needs to reintroduce carbs, and the best place to do that is post-workout. So that should work for him.
Okay, Chad, next question comes from Craig in New Zealand. He says, what are the most common pitfalls your clients face when wanting to get bigger and those wanting to lose a lot of body fat? I don't know if he means at the same time. I'm assuming he means separately.
What are
the most
separately.
Common pitfalls?
Yeah, I wasn't sure of that when you said that either. It depends on if he means the same time or separately, because the biggest problem I see is that people want to do both at the same time. And if you have a lot of fat to lose, there's no reason to even think about bulking, because the majority of your bulk is just going to be more fat. So if he is like, let's say there's a guy with 20% body fat who wants to gain muscle and lose fat, he really needs to focus on leaning out first. Some people can add appreciable amounts of muscle and lose fat at the same time, but most of the time, if they really break it down and look at it, it's not at the same time. It's kind of like my 10-10 transformation. Lose 10 pounds of fat, gain 10 pounds of muscle in 12 weeks. Well, each phase, though, is devoted to a different goal. So it's kind of, that's what people really need to do. Even though over the course of 12 weeks, people can definitely lose fat and gain muscle, there are 3 week phases devoted to each goal. So I would say the biggest problem I see is that a guy needs to lose a lot of fat, and he's taken in a bunch of carbs post-workout, or his diet really isn't on track, but he's weightlifting, so he thinks that will be fine for gaining muscle, and he's doing a little bit of cardio here and there to burn fat. But the thing is, he really needs to focus on losing fat first. If you're a guy, that means about 10% body fat before you should start bulking. If you're a girl, it's around 17 or 18%. So that's the biggest problem I see. Most people, I would say 95% of the people out there, need to cut before they start bulking. Now, if we're talking about these things separately, I would say that for losing fat, the biggest problem I see is that people cut their calories way too low. It really is surprising sometimes to people when they come to me and their diet has been really strict and their training is pretty good, but they can't lose fat, and I up their calories, and they're scared to death of that because they think that's the last thing they should do, and they start losing fat. So when the metabolism shuts down, and it will if you're training hard and you're not taking in enough calories, you've got to introduce more calories to get that G-flux going in your favor. For bulking, for adding muscle, I would say that the biggest problem I see is that people don't put enough focus on the two most important meals of the day for adding muscle, and that's breakfast and the post-workout meal. Breakfast should definitely be your biggest meal today, whether you're losing fat or whether you're gaining muscle. You really want to make sure you get that meal right. But the problem is most people skimp on that meal and try to make up for it later in the day, and it just doesn't work like that. So, of course, from a training standpoint, I favor upper-lower splits and total body workouts and compound movements and higher sets and lower reps. So if you're just doing typical body part split, and, you know, doing three sets of 10 to 12, and that could be a problem in itself. I discuss all those issues in my book and my online articles. That pretty much covers that question.
And that pretty much answers the next question, too. So we'll jump to the last one. This one comes from Jeff. It says, a lot of MMA athletes are focusing more on endurance and power and less on strength. What do you see as the future for endurance training for MMA athletes?
Oh, now this is my kind of question. Well, the future, I can't say with utmost certainty, but I certainly hope the future of endurance training for MMA athletes is less aerobic training, such as long-distance running, and more total body anaerobic training. Complexes are a great example. I think complexes will become a standard in MMA just within the next few years because they really are super effective for fighters. Because it builds strength, it builds anaerobic endurance, it's a total body exercise. If the complex is designed correctly, I mean, you can work virtually every muscle group and numerous movement patterns. And that's what people have to think about because it really does seem intuitive to me and a lot of other people, but sometimes it's too easy to think that going out and running for an hour is going to help you with your fighting. So it's like, oh, you know, I'm a better machine. I can run for an hour, so that should make me a better fighter. But the last time I checked, you know, MMA fights don't consist of running around in the ring for 60 minutes straight, you know. So it's about grappling with a person. It's about going from standing to on your back to wrestling to throwing strikes. And you really have to keep your strength conditioning programs in line with those demands. So the idea of doing any type of anaerobic exercise without including the upper body doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So what I like to do to get around this is I like to have my athletes run with a heavy bag. So they bear hug, let's say a 100-pound bag, that's usually what I use, and they run or walk at a fast pace depending on their conditioning levels. But let's just say they sprint for 60 seconds. And I'll have them do that forward and backward, and I'll have them do a crisscrossing with their legs. And what that does is it turns it into an anaerobic exercise that trains the entire body, and it's building strength endurance in the upper back and the shoulder region where they need it most. Another great standard are high-rep overhead squats. So, you know, overhead squat is a really great total body exercise. Builds mobility, builds core stability strength, but it can also really build shoulder endurance. So you just take like an empty barbell, hold it overhead, do 25 or 30 reps, you know, with the overhead squat, and that's another great conditioning drill. So that's what I see the future being. Again, less just like long distance running and more total body anaerobic exercises. And I hope to see a greater emphasis put on maximal strength because, as I said in my last article, I really feel like it's been the redheaded stepchild of the fitness triad, which is strength, endurance, and mobility. Because the old school philosophy was just that strength training or getting strong would make you slow, which is completely absurd. Because the stronger you are, the faster you can be. It's just that you have to train anaerobic endurance and mobility too. So you have to do some speed work and you have to do maximal strength work. But I think with the competition being so great, and some of these athletes are just absolute monsters, and they're really just incredible machines, unlike the early days of the UFC, that people are going to look for every edge that they can, and one edge that a lot of people are missing out on is maximal strength training. So that's pretty much how I see the future.
Chad, I actually have a question for you. I know in a lot of your articles you talk about how you use an undulating model where you'll have a low rep high set day and then a high, you know, rep moderate set day. Well, what's new with you with that for hypertrophy? Are you dropping the reps from 20 down more to 15? What's kind of new in your lab for hypertrophy work, more or less?
It depends on the goal. It depends on the person and it depends on their goal. You'll see with my programs, you'll see a lot of different set rep schemes. But I don't want people to get too hung up on the numbers, like is 18 really better than 20, or is 15 even better, or is it 3 or 4 reps per set? It's mainly that I just want to vary the loads and the number of repetitions they can get with that load just to get different responses from the muscle. So I want one day to be heavy where they can only get a few reps. I want one day to be medium where they can get moderate reps, and I want one day sometimes to be light where they can get a lot of reps if they really need to build strength endurance. So it depends on the person, but what's new, there's not a whole lot new in my training systems with regard to those parameters because they work, and you know, something works, you know, I don't start messing with it too much. But I will say though that frequency is the most underappreciated aspect of training. Still, I a couple of years ago, I started talking about the importance of training with a higher frequency, and I haven't really done it much recently because I've got so many other projects in the works. But I really feel like training more frequently and doing fewer total exercises per session is a much more effective way to build strength and hypertrophy if you have the luxury. The problem is a lot of people don't have the luxury because not a lot of people can train twice a day, 3 days a week, or 4 days a week. So getting back to set and rep schemes, no, I really have gotten just incredible results with my clients and gotten incredible testimonials from people around the world. Just with starting off with a set rep scheme of 24 and breaking that up into different set rep guidelines throughout the week. So Monday you'll do 8 sets of 3, Wednesday you do 4 sets of 6, and then Friday you do 3 sets of 8. And you do that for 3 weeks or so, 3 or 4 weeks, and use different exercises at each session. And then after 3 weeks is up, you up the volume up to 28 or 30 and do the same thing all over again. You can do 10 sets of 3 one day, 3 sets of 10 the next day, you know, and so on. So, no, there isn't any magic number, you know, that I've come up with because it's, you know, the body's just going to adapt to everything eventually. So the key is to just keep switching up the reps and the loads and different variations of the exercises that you use throughout the week, and you will get great results.
Last question we have for you, Chad. Do you have anything that's like coming up in the future? I know you mentioned that you might have some seminars coming up or anything that's going on at like chadwaterbury.com.
Yeah, I've actually got quite a few things in the works. First I'll say is I'm doing a seminar in London, England on June 14th. And it's going to be an outstanding seminar. It's on basically the scientific principles of body transformation and performance training, and I'm going to talk a lot about joint health and mobility and the latest that I found in nutrition and post-workout nutrition and just a few little tips and tricks that I've used over the years with nutrition. But the main thing is the scientific training principles and body transformation, and again, all the mobility stuff. It's really going to be an outstanding seminar. Again, it's June 14th. It's in London, England. It's going to be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and there are a few spots left. And if you want to sign up, just go to my website, chadwaterbury.com. And I've got my 10-10 transformation ebook out there. I've got Muscle Revolution. And what I was going to do for you, Kevin, and for FitCast is I made up a little bonus report. It's my 5 most effective fat loss tips. Some of them are training-related, some of them are nutrition-related. But if anyone within the next 3 days gets on my website, goes to my contact link, and sends me an email and says that they heard about this on FitCast, and if they order the 10-10 or the Muscle Revolution book, I will give them this bonus report. And this really is, I mean, there's a lot of good information in here. This isn't some watered down thing. So I don't want to give away any information about it, obviously, because it's the bonus, but it really can make, these 5 steps can make a huge difference in how fast you lose fat and gain muscle. And I have a book coming out at the end of this year, and I'll be back to talk more about that. It's probably not going to be out until about December. I wrote it for Rodale. But the next thing that's going to be released from me is an ebook on simple tests that you can do at home to see if you have any joint limitations, and then a solution for those limitations. So, you know, you always talk to someone who's been doing an exercise program or some type of training, and you say, well, how's the training going? They're like, oh, well, you know, it's great, but then I got this shoulder thing or this knee thing and this low back thing or whatever, and they don't want to do the physical therapist, and they don't really know what to do. So I've come up with simple tests and very effective solutions that require no esoteric equipment or anything. A lot of the stuff that I do with my guys at the Gracie facility. So, you know, most of the people I work with, the people from my writings, they think that my main thing is just, you know, building size and strength and what have you. But honestly, my day-to-day life, what I deal with more than anything else are overcoming joint problems, because I work with so many fighters who are hurt all the time, just because that's what fighting is designed to do. You know, it's designed to hurt you, you know. So basically what I've learned over the last, 3 years are very effective, simple tests and techniques to overcome shoulder pain, low back pain, knee pain, whatever, getting the muscle strength back in balance, really simple mobility drills and such. So that will be out probably within the next month. And all you have to do is just check chadwaterbury.com for more information on that.
Very cool, Chad. And like Chad said, just go to chadwaterbury.com, and there's a little tab up there for the shop, and both those products are available there. So, Chadman, just huge pleasure, and hope to have you on again in the future, and we look forward to seeing some more of your upcoming stuff. And for people who are interested in that promotion that Chad's helping us out with, the 5 most effective fat loss tips, you can check out all the information on how to get that in the show notes. So, Chad, like I said, thanks for coming on the show, and we hope to have you on again in the future.
All right, thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, we're back. It was great to talk with Chad again.
And, yeah, it was good. It was a good conversation.
Oh man,
very smart man.
It's so great to talk to Chad, and I don't know. It's just nice to. It's very straightforward with him. Like it's cool. Like I do have his Muscle Revolution book, which is
I have. It's a very good book.
It's a great like piece to have if you like his programs, like if you checked out Waterbury Method or any of his stuff on T Nation. It's a great companion. It actually explains why the workouts are set up the way they are. So if you're a nerd like Jimmy or someone who's trying to get into the fitness industry or wants to be a personal trainer, it's a great little informative book to have on your shelf.
Yeah, Chad, I actually had Chad on my Muscle Bible, and we had a really fantastic conversation there, too.
IneedMuscle.com.
IneedMuscle.com, exactly, and it was always nice to chat up with Chad. Chad, he's always awesome to talk to, so.
Have you ever seen him present? I've never seen him.
No, I have not. I didn't. His last two presentations that I think he did one with Pavel and Alan out, I think it was in Alan's gym. He did one with Pavel and Alan out. I think it was in Alan's gym. And I mean, I wish I could have went to that. I mean, those three names, fantastic seminar. Mm. I know we spoke at the JP Fitness Summit last year. But no, I haven't got a chance to see Chad speak ever. So, I mean, that's someone I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, it's always good to have him on. I think I said that probably 10 or 12 times. But you guys wanted him, so we got him back on the show. And like if you look at your iPod or your computer, you can see this is episode number 92, so we're 8 episodes away from 3 digits. And I think that's about it. Should we throw in one more mailbag question?
Sure, if you got it, why not?
Because I had one about knees for you.
Go ahead, pal. That's what I'm here for.
And my email is loading. And I'm not going to edit this out, so here we go. Come on, where is it? Okay, here we go. Oh, here's one. Do you know anything about performing depth jumps?
I mean, if you want to ask me the question, go ahead.
Sure. this is from Dale Kim. It says, I was wondering if you or Jimmy could describe the proper way to perform depth jumps and key things to be cognizant of when doing them. As always, thanks for answering questions, and I don't know anything about them. So.
Well, first of all, with depth jumps, I mean, you have to make sure you obviously land with your knees bent. I know that seems like very elementary advice, but I've literally seen people do depth jumps and land in a locked out position. That's obviously not something you want to do. Also, they're kind of the most popular plyometric method. Like, I know a lot of the jump programs for you know, basketball shoes and things like that have people do them right away. Depth jumps are not something you could start right away. Like, you have to work up to depth jumps. You have to progress. You have to increase the ability for yourself to store your elastic energy, you know, which is basically what plyometrics does. You know, you can't just jump in the ring and box with Ali, you know, so you don't just jump to depth jumps. Like, you have to start out with other plyometric activities. I mean, you know, simply starting out with other smaller plyo movements, you know, like lateral hops, lateral boundings, interior posterior boundings, things like that, that aren't as joint intensive as depth jumps, obviously, are also a place you should start. I mean, and as I brought up depth jumps, how intensive they are in joints. Again, a lot of people, I've seen people do them on like hard surfaces.
Yeah.
And that, like, I mean, I don't even like doing them on a basketball court. Like, I know they're popular for you know, basketball teams, and they'll do them on the court, but I don't even like doing them there.
All right, well, we do have another question from a listener, Kevin Shaw. He says, I have a question about creatine for the mailbag. I have tried any of a number of store brands or name brand creatine monohydrate powders. I use a heaping teaspoon, 5 grams as directed. I have tried taking it in hot tea, water, fruit juice, or sugar water, and I still have the same problem, an upset stomach. I know what my regular diet is like, and I've narrowed it down to the creatine. Do you have any advice or research on this sort of issue or experience with your clients or any recommendations for helping tolerate it? And my old roommate had the same problem. He used to always get an upset stomach when he had creatine.
That's very rare. I mean, like, I know when I first started taking creatine, like 10 years ago, I read that people had upset stomachs, but I've never experienced it. I've never worked with anybody that experienced it. But what I will say along those lines is when are you taking your creatine relative to your exercise? You know, are you taking it right after? A lot of people don't do well. Like, a lot of people don't do well with, like, a chocolate or vanilla protein powder. They have to have a fruit powder post and pre-workout because of their stomach. I don't do good having waxy maize when I do lower body days. Like, that just doesn't fit in, you know, with me.
You know who has great, great fruit flavored post workout drinks is Black Star Labs, who has Cytofuse and the great raspberry lemonade, or they have a watermelon flavor, and they also do have chocolate flavor if you like that as well. So, I mean, it's worth checking out.
I would also say I have personally found when clients have had upset stomachs, glutamine helps a little bit. You know, glycine helps a little bit. So, just places for them to look.
Very good. We have, let's do one more question. We got a lot of questions this past week, so we'll try to get through a bunch of them. This will be the last one, though. This is from Josh York, and he says, hey, Kevin, I really enjoy the show. I started listening around episode 30 and have not missed one since. Thank you. I love to run, and I'm going to compete in a 5K this summer. I usually do one sprint session, one tempo session, one long run session a week. I also train with weights 4 days a week. How much specific leg work should I do on top of my running? Right now I do squats 4 sets of 6 reps one day and jump squats 3 sets of 10 reps on another day. I don't want to overtrain my legs, but I want to maximize muscle growth for speed and endurance. Any information you and Jimmy could give me would be greatly appreciated. I learn something new every week from you guys and your guests. Keep up the great work. And that's from Josh.
Do you want to give your opinion first there, Kev?
I don't know. I don't know anything about 5K runners. So,
I would say it's a good idea. He's doing plyometrics, like jump squats, because that's why, endurance athletes get hurt anyway, or it's one of the reasons why. I would just say try to lower your leg volume if you could a little bit.
It does sound like a lot. That's the only thing I had in my mind. It sounds like a lot.
It's a lot. I would say try to lower that, right away, and then take it from there. I mean, any advice we can give you now, it's all dependent on you lowering that leg volume. So if you don't, then the advice we give you is not really going to be good. So try to lower the leg volume a little bit every day. Compact it a little bit, and then write us back, in a week and see what happens. But any advice we can give you now is all dependent on you lowering the leg volume.
Very good. I do have... You want to do one more question? We got time.
Sure.
I mean, this is a podcast. We have no set time, but we both are pretty busy tonight. Well, this is from Brian Lynch, and he says, hey, guys, I just started listening to the show a few weeks ago, and I've been downloading back episodes to pass the time at work. You guys have helped me out a lot already. Like a lot of people, I have been searching for the secret to lose the last 10 pounds of fat. And then in a recent episode, you guys said, if you're not losing the last 10 pounds, then you're just not working hard enough. I guess we did say that. It seems pretty obvious now. Thanks for that. I don't know if he's being sarcastic, but I don't think so. Anyways, my question pertains to diet. As a former fat guy, what's up, man? I'm 5'10 and was 230. Now I'm 175, 12 to 16% body fat. Haven't measured recently. I've pretty much been avoiding carbs in general. It seems really easy to find information about how much protein and fat one should eat, when you should eat it, and what good sources of proteins and fats are. My question is, how many grams of carbs should I be eating? When should I be eating them, and what are good sources of carbs? My goal is to lose the last 10 pounds of fat and replace it with 10 pounds of muscle over the next 4 to 6 months. Smart guy. He's not saying 4 to 6 weeks,
Yeah, no, that's good. I like to see he's planning for the future.
Hold on. I'm not done. We got some more information. It is a long question. I'm currently eating about 2,000 calories a day and mostly protein with some fats and very little carbs, doing 3 to 4 days a week of weight training, both high and low rep sets, and doing HIIT 3 days a week. Thanks for your help, guys. I really appreciate it. And that's Brian from Calgary, Canada. And I'm going to start off because I think I have something to contribute because I have some experience with this.
Go ahead.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah, it's cool. Go ahead.
Okay. I think that I want to know, if he's saying he's eating about 2,000 calories a day, we'll go back to what Chad was saying for a guy that's 175 pounds lifting 3 to 4 days a week and doing HIIT 3 days a week. That's not enough calories. Maybe if you're, 160, that'd be enough. But
right.
definitely. But I mean, I think he should be at like 2,400, 2,600, if his weight is accurate, and to make sure that he's calculating using like Fit Day or something where he can actually get a accurate readout. I know a lot of people say they count calories, but I mean, how exact are they? That's always something that kind of is one of the things that I always think about. But the I mean, you probably just listened to Chad talk about it. The best times to get him in is breakfast and pre and post workout.
And are you passing up to me there, Kev? Or
no, I'm just pacing myself. And it's funny because in Gmail it's telling me to buy muffin tops. They actually sell just muffin tops. Like that's, you know, like they have Google AdSense, which looks at what the email says and gives you ads about it. So I thought that was anyways, the you want to be looking at complex carbohydrates, getting plenty of fruits and vegetables if you can. Look for fruits that are a little bit more fibrous, like your apples, your pears. Strawberries are in season now. I just got like, you know, one of those double containers of strawberries, not like the regular ones, but the double containers for $3 at the grocery store. They're huge. Like that thing lasted me for like 4 days, and I'm like, wow, it's great to have some strawberries. It's nice that they're in season. And with everything else so expensive, it's nice to see that. You know, your whole grains. I mean, it's pretty simple. Like, if you've looked at, if you've read any kind of recent nutritional advice, they're all saying complex carbohydrates, your oatmeal, your whole grains. And I don't really have a problem with him staying low carb, but if he's trying to lose fat, especially if, like, I'm a guy, like, I know I always eat low carb. Just because I can handle it, I know my body can handle it, and if I do start going, like flirting with that 200 grams of carbohydrates a day, that's when I start. Now might start putting on a couple more lbs. That's pounds on the street. That's what we call them. And sorry, Jimmy's not buying any of my horrible jokes this week. Well, Jimmy, I'm gonna pass it off to you. What do you got?
Well, no, you gave pretty solid advice, Kev. Just, you know, complex carbohydrates when. You know, I'm really dieting to get lean. I don't take carbs post-workout. I just feel like that with insulin, we need to keep it as stable as possible. And I know that post-workout, we will have better affinity to use that insulin that's, you know, produce carbs and to shuttle the carbs into the muscle cells. But I personally just find I get a little fatter even doing that, and my weight loss efforts suffer. So I just go with glycine and glutamine post-workout. Or another thing you do is actually up your calories a little bit, take advantage of the anabolic rebound. Don't really, you know, go 2 weeks, go a little higher calories, good quality foods. You'll gain a little bit of muscle, you drop a little bit of fat, and then when you go back to your diet, you'll be reset, more or less.
And I want you to have some pizza once a week.
It's always good.
I think everyone needs some pizza once a week, you know? I think that's like, that should be the default cheat meal.
Sure.
Is pizza. Because, I mean, shit, people got to live a little, guys. You know? That's just my inner...
No doubt.
Inner Buddha that's coming across and saying, you know what, we're always talking about fat loss and eating great. You know what? For the most part, a lot of the people that are listening to the podcast are probably eating pretty well. Like, you know, the Boston Celtics are in the NBA playoffs right now. Maybe you should go over to a buddy's house or a girlfriend's house and, you know what, watch the Boston Celtics kick some ass and have a couple slices, you know. Maybe some cheesy bread. I don't know what they got.
All right,
these days.
You're getting ahead of yourself. Let's cut the show right there. You're going downhill.
All right, and I'm gonna tease. I have an announcement for next week, but I can't announce it till next week.
Oh, it's going to be next week, huh? I don't think you should make it next week.
You don't think so?
No, dude. I think you need to wait.
Well, I'm gonna know whether it's
well. It doesn't matter what you. It doesn't. I mean, it doesn't matter what you know. Like,
well, I'm
I
not
know...
gonna. I'll just. I can. Well, it's like a two-parter. I'll mention the first thing. I won't mention
the other thing. I mean, I was gonna say, like, knowing something and announcing are two different things. Like, I know you don't like girls, Kevin, but you don't announce that in the show. You know.
Oh, God. And this is just because Jimmy has a picture with two women.
You relax. All right. Don't make me. I don't really want to have to hang up on you again.
Oh, wait, no. Oh,
that,
crap. I forgot. Yeah. I forgot. Did you get any hate mail?
One person emailed me and was like, how dare you do that to Kevin? He's trying to do a good show here, and you signed off. I don't know if the person was joking. I mean, actually, I got more positive responses from people saying, like, laughing and saying, keep Kevin on his toes. So if anybody was wondering, I didn't hang up to be a jerk. I hung up because I wanted to mess with Kevin. So
yeah, I think, did you end up listening to the end of the show? I was like, okay, guys.
No, I actually didn't, you know. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, all right, well, that's good. I have an
announcement to make soon as well.
Oh, cool.
Not today, but in like a week. There's going to be a couple weeks, we're going to have a lot of announcements in the FitCast.
Big announcements. And you know what? I think that second one that we're talking about, I think after today, I think I kind of confirmed, I think it's that we won't have to make that second announcement. But we'll definitely make the first one.
Dude, don't tease people like that. Why don't you just tell me, because I know what the announcement is. You're teasing people and indirectly telling me it when we can easily end the show and you can spend 20 seconds telling it to me after.
Well, it's not really going to affect them. It's a huge... it's going to affect me, though. And
Kevin has a date with a female. Hint, hint.
If people know... I have a girlfriend.
People know you have bad posture. All right. This is Kevin Lambry for the FitCast.
Signing off, and that's Jimmy Smith. I'm going to make him happy now, jimmysmithtraining.com, jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com.
jimmysmithtraining.com is about to be revamped, buddy.
Oh, is that your announcement?
No, well, kind of, no. It's about to be revamped, though, and then I'm gonna come out with something I've been working on for a minute.
Well, what do you got going on? What you got anything special coming up in your schedule, Jimmy? You going any place, or?
No. I'm not flying anywhere till August. I might be at the Perform Better in Providence in May, but I still have to decide about that. But other than that, I gotta go drink some green tea. I have to go shower. I gotta get back to doing some work. So well, here's what I want to announce. Two things. If anybody that listens to the FitCast is really good with editing MySpace stuff, shoot me an email to Jimmy at jimmysmithtraining.com.
What do you mean, like, editing MySpace stuff? Like, how hard is that?
Well, no, dude, it's hard. I mean, like, putting in, like...
Can you, like, edit HTML?
No, you can't edit HTML. It's different, and I'm a tech dummy. Like, I know nothing, dude. I have the tech skills of a friggin' squirrel. Like, I don't know how to do anything. So if anybody's good at tech stuff, just shoot me out, and then specifically MySpace, and just shoot me out an email to Jimmy at jimmysmithtraining.com. And that's it for now, for me, at least. But jimmysmithtraining.com, I'm signing off.
All right, well, can I wrap up the show like we traditionally
do? Yes,
wrap it up. All right, thanks everyone for listening. This is episode number 92. Please check out thefitcast.com. You know, subscribe through iTunes, do all that good stuff. Tell a friend. You know what? We're out of here.
You tell your friends, I'll tell my friends, we could be friends.
Yeah, Jimmy will tell his one friend, and you guys can tell your
dozens of friends. Hey, do you know the average person only has 0.75 friends now? That's a fact. Like, I read it in research the other day. Like, the average American has one friend or less, and like the average.
You mean like best friends or like actual friends?
No, like close friends.
Wow.
Like, that's
pretty
sad.
That's
the internet lifestyle, and I'm even asking people to make me have less friends and help me with MySpace. So.
Well, I have 400 friends on Facebook. So.
Yeah, but half of them don't even like you.
Most of them do, though.
All right, I'm jimmysmithtraining.com.
Okay, so for episode number 92, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we're finally wrapping it up. We'll see you next week. And you know what? We might have another guest. Take care, everyone.
Peace.